God's word today, we will turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 23 to 27. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Amen. God is the one who rewards and renders. God is the one who rewards and renders. God is the one who rewards and renders. So our God is the rewarder, and he also renders, as it says in some versions, meaning that he retributes or recompenses. So he rewards and he also renders for what one has done. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, it describes that God is the one who rewards. Up until now, I have spoken about the God who rewards, but today we will also talk about the God who renders, who recompenses. So to get a better understanding of this, we will turn to Romans chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. It says, God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. So God will give to each person, meaning that he will repay or render according to what he has done. So reward and render can be used synonymously. In other words, God repays each person according to what they have done. Our faith is to believe in the gospel. Jesus told us to believe in the gospel. So believing in Jesus and the gospel are the same. Therefore, our faith life is in order to partake in the gospel, we live for the sake of the gospel. So we live for the gospel, and that is what faith life is. So to partake in the gospel is not only to hear and understand it doesn't just end there, but as Paul said, what then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. So we do this for the sake of the gospel and to share in its blessings because there is a prize that awaits us in the end. So partaking in the gospel and receiving reward are directly related. So when we think of the gospel, what comes to mind? It's our very church, the Church of Jesus. So when we think of gospel, we think of Church of Jesus. And I also think of the full gospel church. In 1970, there was a church founded called the Full Gospel Church. And the Pentecostal churches, at that time, there was a great time of growth and revival. The pastor of that church, he in Yongchun, Seoul, he would preach the gospel that if you believe in Jesus, you go to heaven, and if not, then you go to hell. He went to preach on the street, but no one came to church through his preaching. Rather, people on the streets, they got mad. Saying that this life is hell, that we are living in hell. And he would say that, yes, this place is hell, that we already live in a place that will one day become hell. And he found that such preaching didn't work. And because he found that this method didn't work in bringing souls and wasn't effective, and attracting more people in order to preach something that was more pleasing to the ears and alluring to the audiences. That led to the emergence of something called the fourfold, fivefold gospel, which talked about blessings in this life, such as healing, and that everything would go well in this life. They went further to preach, to teach what it was mentioned in Isaiah, that they would be blessed in this life, that they would be forgiven, be healed, and have peace, and that God will provide all things, and that you will be blessed and become rich and prosperous. With such teachings, many crowds came. People flocked to the churches, and the church grew greatly in number, and rumors spread, becoming widely known internationally. The teachings of the Full Gospel Church, which was founded in 1970, had a great influence on other pastors and their teachings. And many came to attend seminars on how to preach according to this teaching. In Korea, believing in Jesus had not been a big issue, but with such events that took place, it became a greater issue, and this type of gospel teaching became more widely known. Starting with this Full Gospel Church, during the course, there were also criticisms on how they became corrupted, and they even changed their church name a few times.
We have to understand the basis of the faith that we have and the origin of what the Bible teaches, its fundamental teachings. So our ancestor Adam, who lived in the Garden of Eden, he was there was no lack. And God, he allowed him to rule over all the things in the garden and eat of anything that he desired. However, he was given one command, which was to not eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he lived a life satisfied and contently. However, one day, the serpent, he appeared. The devil, in the form of the serpent, appeared. And the serpent could not stand the sight of Adam and Eve living so happily and in peace and being provided of all things. So therefore the serpent approached Eve and told her that you will not surely die, that you will not surely die, that you will become like God. And so her response was, wow, why not? We will become like God. And so therefore they ate the fruit, and she gave it to her husband. And Adam, he also ate as well. And so Adam's family in the Garden of Eden, though they were to enjoy the pleasures in the garden, they, by disobeying the command of God, they were punished, and sin entered their spirits. And because they listened not to the word of God, but rather were deceived by the words of the devil. And as a result, he was to toil the ground and labor, and things would not go according to his plan. And also the woman would be punished with childbearing pains. And also the serpent would now eat the dust of the ground, the devil, the dust of the ground. And because they came from dust, their flesh would return back to dust. And because Adam disobeyed the command of eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, their spirits died, meaning that they would have to pay the price of sin in the fires of hell forever. And the reason for all of this was because of the devil. And therefore, afterwards, the devil, he became the ruler of death, the prince of the world. He is still present here this day. And there are such teachings where they say to build a paradise on earth. And so these are part of the prosperity gospel and the false teachings that preach about a paradise on earth. And so a lot of teachings have been altered and been corrupted in such a way. And therefore, the eyes of the world, their eyes have been blinded. And because of such sin, they would have to toil and experience the consequence of such sin. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 2, God, through a prophet, he spoke about the Son who was to come. That through the Son would come the gospel that was promised. And it was a gospel that he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So the Old Testament is only a foreshadow and is a copy of the true one to come. So this is what the Old Testament is. As it says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it talks about blessings. And so when the pastors preach about such verse and say, may you receive all blessings, blessings at work, blessings in the family, blessings in blessings to your husband, your children. This is teachings about blessings, and people like to hear that. However, this teachings in the Old Testament, as we just mentioned, is just a foreshadow, is a copy, is just a model of what is to come. And it was just to show as a model of what would come in the future. And that is why, in order to set as a model, as a foreshadow, that is why God called on the people of Israel, and that is why he freed them from their slavery of four generations, and he let them out. So slaves, they were oppressed, and they have no possession of their own, and they were persecuted, and they lived a miserable life. However, overnight, by sending Moses, God, he freed them from their slavery so that they can experience how amazing freedom is. And the very Exodus itself is a miracle, and throughout their history, they experienced many miracles, signs, and wonders, and were to be led to the promised land flowing with milk and honey. And in the process, they were to pass the desert, and they found themselves in the wilderness, and it was an environment where survival was very difficult, and living conditions were not good. And so the moment they arrived in the wilderness, in the desert, they complained and grumbled. However, all those who resented God, complained, and grumbled were struck dead in the desert. So therefore, they also feared God, and they lived a life like hell in the desert. However, God promised that if they keep the commands, they would surely be led to the land flowing with milk and honey that was promised to their ancestors. However, their faithfulness did not last. And initially, they were grateful for the manna and the water that God provided. But as more time went by, they became sick and tired and resentful. And so while Moses was absent, they even worshipped a golden cow. They made a cow, an idol out of the gold that they brought out from Egypt. And so they worshipped the golden cow, and they proclaimed that this is the golden cow that will lead them out. And so it was just a chaotic scene. But when Moses, he came down, we see that in one day, all those who partook and worshiping the idol worship dead. And we also see that in the desert life, they were given the law. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it describes the law of Moses. So it was a law that was delivered to them by the angels. That it was a message spoken by the angels, but it was the very law of God, and if they disobeyed the law, then they were to be put to death. And in order for them to remember and keep the law, they were to build the tabernacle. And inside the tabernacle was the Ark of Covenant, and also contained within was the name of Jehovah. And they were to remember that Jehovah, anyone who hates him, meaning that anyone who disobeys his word, does not keep his command, he considered as one who hates him. And so anyone who disobeyed or hated, they would be punished according to what they have done. And it was the very temple that reminded them that Jehovah God, he would certainly pay back according to what one has done. So if they disobeyed his word and did not keep his command, then they would surely be punished. So it was through the laws, through the prophets, that the people were to be reminded of who God is. However, they forgot, and they dismissed the law of God, and therefore they became corrupted as they worshipped idol gods, and they offended God, and therefore they brought on destruction on themselves. And though they were called as the people, the holy people of God, and they were chosen as his people, and though God he made covenant with their ancestors, their forefathers, their nation was destroyed in the end because of their disobedience and unfaithfulness. And the nation of Israel, they would lose in battle, and many of their peoples were destroyed and taken captive, and they lost their sovereignty. And this was a time of suffering and hardship for the nation of Israel. And towards the end of the Old Testament, there was a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40. It says, "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him." So the people of Israel at that time, they were in despair as they thought they were left as orphans, for they did not experience the help of God at that time. But they still held on to the hope that God will protect them and bless them once again. And so this hope they placed in the temple. And it says here, "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him." It says his reward is with him, that he will reward to those whom he will reward, and he will give to according to what one has done. For Jehovah is the shepherd of the Israelites, and they had the hope that the shepherd will surely call and protect his sheep. And this was a prophecy that was made. And because of such prophecy, the people of Israel, they still held hope. And that is when a man named Yeshua, he appeared, and he appeared before the temple. And before the temple, he said to destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. That through the prophets and through the law, that they were given the law of God. But as I just mentioned, this was delivered to them by the angels. that it was through the prophets and the angels and through various methods that they were given. But far greater than that, the God himself, he would send the Son. And in the prophecy that we just read, that with him would be his reward, and that the sovereign Lord would come with power, that and he would come with reward, and also it says his recompense accompanies him, that he will surely compensate one for what he has done. So even with the law that the angels delivered to the people, they were to be rewarded or to be punished according to what they had done. But now the Son had come, and in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1, it describes what the Son said. So the law was delivered to them by the angels, and the gospel was delivered to the people by the Son. The gospel is the good news. But this good news doesn't mean that they can live as they wish and live according to their desires and do whatever they want. Or this good news isn't about blessings in this life. And actually, there are people who prayed to Jehovah, pour upon us your blessings. And there were people in Korea who would pray about bless us with prosperity and bless us with a good suit, that and for they believe that if you believe in Jesus, that they would be blessed with material things like good, nice suit. However, what Jesus said, because he has come, that he came for this very sake, to spread the gospel. He came to preach the gospel, and this is why he has come. So what Jesus Christ says, his words, is the gospel. The words of Jesus Christ is the gospel. The words of the Son, the words of Jesus Christ, is gospel. So the word that was given to the people by the angels, by Moses, is the law. But after Jesus came and the Holy Spirit came, now we are in the era of the Holy Spirit, and it is the Holy Spirit that help reminds us about what Jesus spoke. And in this era of the Holy Spirit, there are still preachings about the law and about material blessings and prosperity in this life. And so they are still preaching according to the Old Testament. And this is how they understand the Bible and understand this faith, and they misunderstand that this is what the blessings God gave us. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? The salvation which was first announced by the Lord was confirmed to us by those who heard him." And we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received is just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. So the great salvation. What is this great salvation? This great salvation, it's not the blessings received by the flesh. It's not the blessings of the flesh, but it is for the soul to be saved on that day. It says, how shall we escape if we ignore such great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord. So it was first announced by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So the gospel is in regards to salvation, is in regards to the soul. Amen. So the gospel, we have to be certain on what the gospel is. So the gospel was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. However, that was only physical and regarding material. But now, after Jesus Christ, he appeared, he came with the true gospel, which would not just be for the flesh, but rather it is a spiritual. It's not in this life, but it would be in the life to come. Say amen if you welcome this or believe this. So say amen if you want to enter eternal life. So until that day, we are to persevere and persist until we achieve such great a salvation. And they were to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was near. And so John the Baptist, he was a prophet who paved the way for Jesus. And he introduced Jesus, who was to come. And before he baptized Jesus, and when Jesus was baptized and he came out of the water, a voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I am well pleased with." And John, he seriously contemplated about the gospel that he heard. And through John, so we see that God is just so exact and so accurate in his plan and in his will to be fulfilled. And he told his disciples to spread the gospel to peoples of all nations. And Jesus, he healed the sick, and he performed many miraculous works. And there are people who saw Jesus as a threat to the Roman rule. And so they wanted to capture Jesus and get rid of him. And then the Pharisees asked Jesus that they were paying taxes to the Roman government. And he asked Jesus, and they asked him if they should. And Jesus knew with what heart they asked him. For they asked him, "Is it against the law to pay taxes to the Roman emperor or not?" But Jesus, he responded, "Why are you trying to trap me? And show me the coin for paying the tax." So they brought the coin to him. And they asked, "Whose face and names are these?" And the emperors, they answered. So Jesus said, "Well, then pay to the emperor what belongs to the emperor. Pay to Caesar what belongs to him. And pay to God what belongs to God." Meaning that God, if you are a soul, created by God with his breath of life, then they are to return to God who created them, who breathed his breath of life into you. So God, he is the one who rewards, he is the one who compensates for what one has done. So Jesus, he was eventually captured and like a silent lamb, led to his death. Jesus was led to the cross and he died. And when he died, he said, "It is finished." He died according to the command of the Father, and into his hands he committed his spirit. Because he is a spirit that came from God, because he is one that came from God, then he was to return to God. This is just the natural principle. And he was able to return to God because he obeyed the command of the Father. And that is why he asked the Father to receive his spirit. And when he said, "It is finished," he completed all the works that he came to do in the flesh. So the Word became flesh, as it's mentioned in John chapter 1, verse 14. Who is the Word? Word is the God who was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus Christ, he came in the flesh. He came as man. He was born into this world. And all those around him, his friends, his family, they, in their eyes, he was like any other man. However, no one knew that, other than Mary, no one knew where he truly came from. But Jesus, he was with God. He was the Word who was with God, who came in the flesh. So therefore, God came in the flesh, the Word came in the flesh, Spirit came in the flesh. So when he died, when he said, "It is finished," means that he completely fulfilled all the works that he had come to do in the flesh. And in Proverbs chapter 22, it mentions that in him was all glory and life. And when he died, he, with his death, he condemned the ruler of death. And in Psalm chapter 91, verse 8, it says, "You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked." So when Jesus Christ, he died and he said, "It is finished," it was such, it marked a victory, for he observed with his eyes and saw the punishment of the wicked, the punishment of the devil. So at this very moment, his death on the cross was when the dichotomy of the Son of Man, his completely opposite attributes, were fulfilled. And in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 20, "A man of perverse heart does not prosper. He whose tongue is deceitful falls into trouble." So God is, he has no sin. He knows no sin, but he came in the flesh. He came in the vessel of the flesh, for the vessel can contain the sin and the price of sin. So he died as a sinner, for the sins of all mankind were transferred onto his body. And when he died, he shed his blood. And his blood is the blood of God. It is the holy blood, the innocent blood, and the blood itself is righteousness. And his blood he shed, and those who receive his blood believe in his blood. Those who receive his blood, those who receive his name, are now deemed righteous. They are now deemed righteous. Without a price, they have been deemed righteous. And to such souls, he will reward with good things. For God is a God who rewards. He is the rewarder. He is the compensator. That he will reward those who have faith in the blood of Jesus. It is the reward of faith. So when Jesus, he died, he was rewarded, and he also was compensated. And now after his death, he ascended to the throne in heaven, and he sits there forever and ever, and he sits on the throne of glory, ruling all nations and all things. And from there, he sent the Holy Spirit. Whom does the Holy Spirit enter? The Holy Spirit enters believers. In this era of the Holy Spirit, this era of grace, we are no longer in the era of the law. No longer is there the promise of the law. But now we are to receive the blessings, the promise by Jesus, by the gospel. By believing in Jesus, we have now been blessed. Are you blessed? Have you truly been blessed? Are you blessed? We all know this. So, the gospel, what is the content of the gospel? So, first is that Jesus Christ, he came in the flesh. That is the gospel itself. And also, the works he did in the flesh is also the gospel. And also, what he promised is the gospel. So what is the gospel? First, it is Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, who came in the flesh, is the gospel. And also, what he did in the flesh, his works, is the gospel. And also, what he promised is the gospel. So three things. So review that with your neighbor. In Isaiah chapter 53, this is what Jesus Christ did in the flesh. In chapter 53, verse 5. "But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. So he is referring to Jesus Christ, the God who came in the flesh. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And for he was beaten, he was flogged, he was afflicted. All of that was for our iniquities, for our transgressions. And so our transgressions are iniquities because of our sins. He was pierced and he was crushed and he was flogged, afflicted, and he suffered. And then it says the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. So his punishment that brought us peace was upon him, meaning that he was in sorrow for all the worries, all the anxieties of mankind were brought on him, and this brought us peace. And he was flogged, his flesh was torn, and he carried the cross to Golgotha. He already had a raw flesh exposed, and it was just such suffering that he endured. All of that, the reason for that was so that by his wounds we are healed. Amen. Hallelujah. So when we say amen, if you have experience of healing in the name of Yeshua, if you have such experience, raise your hand. Have you never been sick? Then perhaps that may be a curse. So if you were sick and in illness, but by the name of Jesus and by the truth you experience healing, then that is a blessing. So only those who were once sick will understand how painful and how miserable it is to be in sickness. But by his wounds, for us to be healed, he was wounded and he was crushed and he suffered. So this is the gospel. It is such good news. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we spread the gospel, and we must teach the gospel, and this gospel must be fulfilled in our lives. So if you were an empty can before you met Jesus and you're still an empty can, that's not good. Rather, you were once an empty can, but now you must be filled with his gospel to share this gospel with others. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it speaks about the confession of Paul, and it teaches us how one who has truly received the gospel must live. We read from verses 23 to 27, but when we read from verse 1, we can see Apostle Paul's confession and how he lived his life as one who received the gospel, and that he was chosen as one to spread the gospel. That though he is a free man, he was so grateful for the fact that he was chosen to spread the gospel, and he would, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 to 18, that he has nothing to boast about, for this is what he will do for such grace that he received. And he surely knew the reason and the importance of preaching the gospel. For he says, yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. And if I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. And what then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. So this is in free of charge, he would preach the gospel. Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. That for one who lives for the sake of the gospel, he will make his living off the gospel. That he will receive his living from the gospel by preaching what the Lord has commanded him to do. says, surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us because when the plowman plows and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. So, in order to partake in the gospel, so the moment that Jesus Christ died on the cross, he shed his blood, and we have received his blood, meaning that we have received the contents of his blood, all five contents of his gospel that we've received. Therefore, we can overcome poverty, and we can overcome sickness and any illness. And this, whether one believes or not, all of mankind have received the blood of Jesus. But Paul, that he looked forward to the reward, to receive the reward that it does not perish, that is imperishable, that there are those who compete for the crown that will not last, but he competed for the crown that will last forever. He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So say amen if you have heard the gospel. Say amen if you've received the gospel. Amen? We've all received the gospel. So we all receive the contents of the gospel, which includes forgiveness and peace in hearts and daily bread and authority and right as we've received as the children of God. However, with the exception of daily bread, which is bread on your plate for this day only, he did not use that right, for he awaited a reward. So the gospel that Paul preaches is the first resurrection, is the imperishable crown, the crown that lasts forever. And the suffering that Jesus endured is just so great, unimaginable. But those who have truly received his blood, have received his gospel, and know the gospel, then such man does not rather wish to receive all the blessings, but rather he looks forward to the reward, to the prize, which is the first resurrection, the resurrection to life, to eternal life he runs. Amen, hallelujah. So such those who know the gospel, they preach the gospel of grace. For there's nothing more important than eternal life, nothing more important than this gospel. So I have not received any particular revelation or any particular ability, but rather the moment I heard this gospel, I was able to understand, and the word, it was just so sweet to my soul, and I loved hearing the word. And from that moment, I decided to throw out all my medications to be healed by the truth. So I would always be singing or hearing things. My eyes and my ears were just receiving all the things of the world. But the moment that through my ears I heard the gospel, all of the worldly things were emptied from me. And I kept hearing the word and the gospel, and I would listen to the recordings of the sermons, and it brought me so much joy that if I heard this sooner, then I could have accepted the gospel at an earlier age. And at the church that I used to go to in Korea, I did not have much expectations from the church, and I was just a church goer. But the moment I truly heard the gospel is when I came to understand what Adam meant, the story of the Garden of Eden, and from then I was able to understand the will of God, and I became one who was unstoppable, and I could not just sit still, for I had to go out and preach the gospel that I have come to know, and that I could not go a day without preaching the gospel, for if I do not open my mouth, then that soul may not be saved. So starting from then,